Dana, if you're there, can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. Yes.
Okay.
We're good.
Yes,
okay, we're being recorded.
All right.
I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We're celebrating 25 years in business and just entering our 12th year of doing open line. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new 2019 open line format with the launch of our new website. You can also find archives of past topics on our publication event tab. Our third book is out, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, and is now available through either going through our site or through Amazon. And we also offer skills testing 360s, which have been a big hit with our clients. Our topic today is preparing for the end of the year. Not the end of the world, just the end of the year. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. Just a few housekeeping items. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including skills testing, 360s, interpersonal coaching, team building, stress and time management, nutritional workshops, and just a whole array of different opportunities for companies to participate in. We also have an office in Taiwan and in the UK, so if you have an operation in Asia or Europe and would like to get leadership coaching for them or provide ideas for how to interact with the U.S. companies, please let us know. These topics come out of hearing the needs from our clients, and that's how this particular topic came up. Our goal is to make this interactive, so during our time today, we're asking everyone, because we're using a new phone system for today, it was a little clunky, but we're asking everyone to please put your phone on mute so we don't hear background noise, and if you have a question as we're moving forward, please unmute yourself and just ask, throw out the question to Paul. I want to introduce a very close friend of mine, a mentor, an outstanding business person, and a cool guy. His name is Paul David Walker. Paul is the CEO and founder of Genius Stone Partners and works with both domestic and international companies to improve their bottom line today and for planning for the future. Paul is one of the few CEO coaches who has actually worked with numerous Fortune 500 CEOs and their key staff members for over 25 years, along with many mid-cap organizations. Some of the organizations that Paul has worked with include Starkist Foods, Vaughn's Grocery Stores, New York Life, Anne Klein, Rockwell International, countless manufacturing firms, global utilities, service, and many consulting organizations, and again, many mid-cap companies. For those of you just joining in, we're going to ask everyone to please put your phone on mute so we don't hear background noise, and if you have a question for Paul during our discussion, please unmute your phone. Paul's the author of the best-selling book, Unleashing Genius. If you haven't read it, it's a must-read. And his brand-new book, Invent Your Future, Seven Imperatives for the 21st Century, another must-read book. I feel privileged to have Paul back today for providing his valuable insights with us, and just very excited to have you back, Paul. So thank you so much. Yeah. Next month, our program was going to be on recent changes in human resources across the U.S., which you'll want to have all of your HR people attend. So, Paul, it's all yours. And, again, please mute your phone so we don't hear background noise. Okay, Paul.
Well, thank you for that kind introduction, Dana. And so it's all about inventing the future, and one of the keys to inventing your future, your company's future, or any future, even a nonprofit, is you've got to start with what's calling to you as a leader or to you as a company. So there's always something calling, you know. So where does that come from? Well, it comes from your marketplace. The market needs and wants are out there, and they're really calling to you whether you know it or not. So let me just define needs and wants. So wants are things that the market
Paul, one of the slides to go forward, just say next, and we'll put them forward. for you.
Oh, okay.
Right now it's on Invent Your Future.
Okay. All right, I'll say next. Okay, right. So a want is something that you or the marketplace consciously wants. A need is something that the marketplace or even yourself as a leader doesn't really know you need. So the need is something a little bit beyond wants. And so you have to probe. You have to probe the market. You have to ask questions. You have to target the wants and sell to the needs. Target the wants and sell to the needs. Because people are aware of the wants, but they may not be aware of the needs, and you may have something to offer that the market's not aware of but needs. Okay, next slide, Dana. What does a good year end look like? I mean, that's what you have to define, right? So, you know, if you're where we are today, about the middle of the year, what does a good year look like? Actually, we're in the third quarter, sorry. What does it look like? You need to define your revenue targets. What's that going to look like? What's the ideal? You need to define your market share targets. What do those look like? How do we access that market? And, of course, your EBITDA or gross margin targets. If you don't define all three of those things clearly and communicate it in a way that the people in your organization, your clients, and the marketplace can relate to, then they're just not going to be able to see what you want. You're not going to be able to attract them. So understanding present reality, which is the next slide, then you've got to be realistic about what's really happening, not only in the marketplace, but for you as a company. So one of the keys, you know, is to define possibilities for your company that are realistic, that you could actually achieve. Sure, you want a stretch plan. I mean, you don't want to be too conservative. You know, you don't want to set up possibilities that sort of underestimate the strengths of your team, the strengths of your company. So it needs to be a bit of a stretch, but it's got to be realistic. You know, it's like, let's say you're at 100 million, you say, okay, by the end of the year, we want to be at a billion. Okay, you know, that's not going to happen. Impossible. So we have to really pick what the stretch is that will achieve your goals based on what is present reality, and that includes your team, your marketplace, your brand in the marketplace, etc. Once you have that, then it's a matter of aligning the teams around the strategy. What is a strategy? A strategy is a compelling picture of the outcomes that you're looking for as a company, broken down, obviously, into various segments of your business strategy. So you've got to get the team aligned around it. They've got to be able to see it. They've got to be able to understand it. They've got to be able to buy into it, that this is present reality, and this plan will take us to the next level of possibility for ourselves as a company. Next slide is define key starting points. Right? The end is the beginning, right? Why do I say that? Because the end has to begin now, right? You've got to have a clear picture of the end. It, you know, what's his name said, always have the end in mind, Cotter, I believe. And so you have to start with the end. And that's where you start your actions. You want to start with what you want for next year. So at the end of the year, you better be ready for the next year. You better have a plan for the next year. All the efforts you make between now and the end of the year need to set you up for the next year. So where do you end? What do you do to have your team, your company, your marketplace ready for next year? So you should be talking about that. Now you should have been talking about that in the, at least in the second quarter of the year. So that's not in place. Get going. Define the key starting point for the beginning of next year. And easier said than done. Better collaborate. One of my clients right now, we're doing a strategic plan, and we have 25 people that I've trained to do interviews against a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. We have 25 people out there interviewing every level of the company, every vertical in the company, to find out what people see as the possibilities, the strengths of the company, the weaknesses of the company, what are the possibilities that come out of the strengths, and what are the threats? What have we got to watch out for? What's going to change? You know, we talked in the beginning about the recession. So, you know, plan for the worst, hope for the best, although hope's not a strategy. It never was and never will be, right? So got to be ready. Got to have a picture of it and get your team there. Now, next slide is about inspiring your teams. And there's a reason it's teams, not just your team, but, you know, everyone within the company, every vertical, every horizontal group needs to be inspired in different ways. If you have hourly employees, that's one group that you have to inspire and show the benefits to them and to the team, right? If you have, you know, salaried executives, same thing. The way you communicate to the two may not be the same, but what you have to define is the ROI. What is the return on the investment, right? You know, these actions we're planning and the outcomes we're getting, what is the return on that investment? Not only for the company and the business, but for each person who's participating. So if we hit our targets, how's that going to benefit you? How's that going to benefit any individual within the company? So that has to be clear. You have to listen. And it's not enough just to inspire them, but you need to check in on where they're at. One company that I spoke about that we're doing the strategic plan, tomorrow, every Friday morning, the leaders of that strategic plan join me here and we check in. How are the interviews doing? What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? What are the threats and opportunities that you see at this point in time? Because when we write that strategic plan, we want everybody to go, hey, you know, the executive team didn't just pull this out of the air. They talked to us. They asked us. Now, you have to remember when you do something this comprehensive that not everything that everybody says is going to go into the strategic plan. It is the items that will create the most return on investment. And if it's a three-year plan, you do the easiest ones first, set up the more long-term, difficult items for the third year. But it all has to tie together, and the team has to have this constant picture of what the outcomes are going to be. If they can't conceive it, they will not be able to create it for you. And again, as I mentioned before, those pictures have to be consistent with each level of the company, because each level of the company, you know, the shipping clerk sees the world a little differently than the senior vice president. So you have to take that into account as you roll out ways to inspire the team to hit those targets.
Hey, Paul, a question came in. So for the next 6 months to a year, how can the organization prepare for the recession and also prepare for the uptick? So an example would be the Vistage economists, the Bulia brothers, have suggested that the recession will last between 8 to 12 months, and then the economy is just going to take off. three of our, most of our clients are VC-sized companies, mid-cap companies, but we also have a number of multinational, multiple billion-dollar companies. And I've talked to the CFOs, and they feel we've already entered the recession as of 60 days ago, but it hasn't been fully felt. It's just starting to be felt now. So what could what could people do in preparing for this recession, do you think? Maybe three things.
Well, I think, one, you always need to act as though there is going to be a recession, right? If you're smart, you're always looking for what could damage your business growth, right? So that's number one. You just need to be a little paranoid about what might happen in the future, even during good times. But if you plan thinking there'll be a downturn, then you know you're going to be tight. You're going to cut your costs. You're going to keep your organization lean and ready to attack. Two, you have to be prepared for the growth that comes afterwards, right? So you have to ask yourself, okay, if we're cutting back on resources, what resources are we going to need when we start to grow? What people, what software, what business processes are we going to have in place when this is over? So you don't just want to pull back randomly. You want to pull back with the end in mind, which would be, you know, during the good times, while keeping in mind what's happening now. And I agree, I think we are into the recession. So you have to be prudent. That's number three. As you do that, as you cut back, as you get leaner, then you also have to take into account, you don't, let's say you've got the best marketing director in the country. Okay. You're cutting back and you go, well, you know, marketing, I don't know. We just need people who can get the product out. And usually those marketing guys are the ones you cut, right? Because the market's shrinking. What do we need them for? Well, you might need them when the market starts to expand. So those are the kind of things you really have to take into account before, you know, you execute these cuts. And as you define your ROI, because there's a ROI that you're going to have to hit. If you don't keep bringing in profits, even during the recession, you're not going to be prepared for the uptick when it happens. So, does that answer your question?
Those are really good points, Paul, that you brought up. Because one of our clients, this is a company that's around $1 billion, and the owner, this happened about 6 months ago. He was projecting the recession about now. And he has mandated throughout the entire company that not only do they become lean, because they run pretty lean, but his thing is you want to be lean but smart about it, just like you mentioned. And his thing is he wants acquisitions presented to him during the downtime, and he wants a business plan of how during the downtime there's going to be the salespeople are going to take market share away from the competitors. And he wants a sales plan for after the recession of how everyone's going to take advantage of the major uptick. He wants everyone to be ahead of it by at least 6 months minimum.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you bring up is really important. During a recession, if you manage your ROI, you'll have the cash to acquire weak competitors because they haven't prepared. And to me, this whole preparation process is to build that high level of accountability with a clear, you know, strategy. I mean, a recession is a great time to knock off and or acquire weak competitors. And you don't want to be one of those weak competitors. Somebody's out there looking to knock off, because this is a great way to increase your market share, right? So maybe their business, I know during one of the recessions, I was working with a company who was engineering firm in aerospace, and they had that whole thing in mind. Who can we acquire and or knock out of the market during the recession because they had done a good job of you know, managing their cash flow. And it's an opportunity. It's a large opportunity. But you got to be careful. If you run out of cash and credit, then you can't go crazy. So it's nice to say, yeah, let's acquire companies during a recession. It'll be harder to get credit, right? And the health of your bottom line, kind of ROI you're returning, will help you get credit, you know, to buy an acquisition. But it's a careful balance. You can't just say, okay, you know, we're gonna acquire weak competitors during a recession. Yeah, as long as that doesn't affect your cash flow in a way that'll put you in the recession, make you a weak competitor. So, it's a balance. Right?
They have to be cash flush, so that's why he can get away with that.
Yeah, sure. And if you're smart, you are that way. You know, I'm working with a client, it's about $2 billion consumer company, and you know, they are actually, you know, planning now for the upcoming recession, their consumer products. So they will definitely be affected. So, you know, we're talking with them right now about, okay, how do we do this? How do we, they want to go public before the end of the year. So they have to have a good balance sheet to do that. And yet, how will that carry them through the recession? It's going to be an interesting conversation. Probably not the best time to go public, but I don't have any control over that. I'm just helping them do it right. So the next slide is all about, you know, once you have all this figured out, and it's not going to be easy, you've got to be really honest with yourself and your team. You've got to now build accountability for the targets that you set up, right? And that involves defining who, what, and how, right? So who is going to be accountable for this? Who's going to lead it? And the right answer is not, well, we're all leading it. No. For every department, for marketing, for manufacturing, whatever, you need a who who's accountable, like the strategic plan we're doing is going to be by department. And then it'll roll up, of course, into the company. So the who is this department or this leader. What are we going to do? So what are the steps that we are going to do to achieve this goal that we figured out earlier? And how are we going to do it? I mean, usually what people forget is the who and the how. They generally know what they're going to do, but how you're going to do it is pretty important, because chances are, if you've never been through a recession or your people have never been through a recession, they're not going to know how. And you've got to really work on teaching people how. It's not good enough to say, well, this is what you need to do, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. Most people are not going to say, oh, boss, I don't know how to do that. They don't want to admit that. But you have to probe with them and coach them on how. Not only coach them, but, you know, get input from a large portion of your team on how. Right? Now, when you're headed to a recession, once you got the who, what, and how very clear, then you need, and I'm not exaggerating, weekly check-ins with your key executives, weekly. What is the trend? What are we doing? What are we missing? Etc. I mean, if people know you're going to be checking, if people know they're going to be in a staff meeting, and you're going to check on them in terms of their accountability, so their responsibilities for the targets, how are you doing? Are you hitting them? Then, you know, they're going to be more accountable. They're going to have better data in front of them. One of my clients actually has a weekly report from each of the departments, or each of the department heads produces a weekly report. Here's where we are on our targets. Here's what I'm doing to make sure we get back on track. Or here's what I'm going to do to continue being on track. And in the context of each of those weekly meetings, the weekly check-ins, you should have some kind of midpoint check-in. Because, and you have to decide what the midpoint is. Is it every quarter? I don't know. It's up to you. Maybe a monthly check-in in addition to the weekly meetings that says, okay, we're behind. We're not. We need to keep doing this. We need to stop doing that. Those midpoint check-ins are really important. You've got to keep your eye on the ball at this time. You can't just business as usual it. And you don't know how fast the recession is going to hit, and you don't know who it's going to hit first. Generally, they hit, you know, consumer products first if you're in a consumer product business. Manufacturing is hit as well, but it is not as immediate as someone who's, you know, selling consumer products. So for each business, those check-ins need to be reflective of what's going on in your industry and what the, you know, different industry segments have different trigger points when the recession hits. And so you really have to be aware of that and build accountability for those targets. Now, once you've done that, right, and I strongly recommend, and the next slide is called Plan a Celebration, right? So I got all kinds of stories about this, right? Work the costs of that celebration, which might be going to Hawaii, might be going somewhere nice, to choose a beautiful place, include the spouses and families, right? But people say, well, geez, that's going to be expensive. No, you program it into your profit target so that the cost of that retreat is already locked in. Now, if you don't hit your targets, you don't go. You don't have a celebration. It's a different kind of meeting, right? But if you do and consistently hit those targets, when I was a partner in Sandalini, which is a consulting firm for Fortune 500 companies, we were a mid-sized company. We were coaching Fortune 500 companies. But every year we had a celebration plan, acknowledging people in that meeting who successfully hit their targets, but not just acknowledging them, having them share, how did you do that? Back to how, what, and who, what, and how. How did that happen? What was your secret for hitting your target? Because you want the whole company, get the whole company in a celebratory mode. It's not just fun and games. It's not just going, you know, surfing or whatever you do. You have company meetings. And during that time, you acknowledge and analyze success. These are the things that made us successful. These are the reasons we're here today. These are the reasons that here's things that we could have done better. Even in success, you've got to stop and go, hey, we did great, but how could we be even more effective going forward? Get input. Now, when we built a company, it was about 20 years I was with them, and we went from 5 people to 120 high-paid consultants in London, New York, Chicago, LA. And what I heard is, now, why do you bring the spouses and the families? Well, because they were part of it. They sacrificed. You were traveling. You know, you were working, you know, 14 hours a day, whatever. They sacrificed too. So it's not just for you. It's for them. Now, what we found, because honestly, if we didn't hit our targets, we didn't have a year-end celebration. So guess who was pushing our consultants to hit their targets? Their spouses and their families, because they wanted to go to Hawaii. My God, get out there and get to work, right? So you have the whole family on your side because your family knew that they would be involved in the rewards. And they were constantly interested in How are we doing? How are you doing? Are you on target? Is your company on target? So you bring them into the process. And I just can't emphasize this enough. It is just so valuable to have everybody motivated and on the team once you have the right targets, and then to debrief. You know, now, the debrief, if you miss all your targets, doesn't include that celebration because you can't afford it. So you have another kind of meeting where you're, you know, really looking at where you dropped the ball, why, what, and how, so that you can, in the beginning of the year, correct that. So I guess I'd open it up for questions at this point.
Wow, that's good. Good stuff. Paul, what's in, is any more slides?
Nope, that's the last one.
Oh, okay.
And a celebration.
Any let's unmute yourself if anybody has any questions. No, keep going. All's quiet.
Ooh. Either I did a good job or it's just total rubbish.
I want to share something that before the last big recession that we had, the Visage economists had, the Bulia brothers had called it out 2 years prior to the recession. So every Vistage member had the opportunity in order to be prepared. Now, most didn't. What we did was I started to watch for the signs that that they were suggesting it would take place. And when I started to see the signs take place, it got me concerned enough to move on it. So two things happened. First one, and they usually don't make stock projections, but in this case, they said be very cautious. So I called our financial advisor and said, I want to go straight liquid. And, of course, the financial advisor's yelling, screaming, and not happy with me over the whole thing. Don't listen to them. And I said, well, so we're out for 3 to 6 months. Who cares? So he did, and 90 days later, that's when the big crash hit, and a lot of people lost a lot of money. And then we went back in and took advantage of the market being lower. But maybe even more importantly, we put a business plan together for the long recession that they had projected. And during that time, we actually grew and had a great platform for when the recession ended where others didn't have the resources. We had already built up our base with additional clients during that time. And then all of a sudden, we have this tsunami of requests for in-depth personality assessments because everyone now wants to hire. So I think that instead of being scared of it, we can be planfully mindful of it and take advantage. And also, this is the time most companies probably have A and B players, maybe C plus players, but the C plus players need to be able to move up to at least a B. If they can't, it's probably time to make a change. And this is also a great time to find some A players that may be looking for opportunities, or maybe a company went out of business or they moved out of state because of the wonderful taxes in the state of California if they're California-based. But this is an opportunity to find great people, so don't shy away from it. Put it in your business plan to hire A people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so it's an opportunity, but it is tricky. I mean, you do really have to make sure you do your research and you understand present reality. So,
yeah,
I just can't help but emphasize that. That
and
you don't
Paul
run yourself
really
out of cash flow.
Right. And Paul is really good on getting people centered. And so the decision isn't one that's made out of fear. It's made out of being centered enough in order to be able to think. So I'll give you another funny example while we're talking about this. A number of our clients know this. For those of you just joining, you probably don't know this, but about 8 or 9 years ago, I started boxing, exercise boxing. And a couple of weeks ago, I was getting a massage and all relaxed, and I did have the energy that particular day to do a boxing session. And so I booked it right after the massage, which I thought, why did I do that? But I had the energy that day, and I thought, I better take advantage of this. But what happened was I was so centered from the massage that it impacted the boxing to the point where at the end of the 30-minute session, which is 22 minutes of solid boxing, but at the end of the 30-minute session, the trainer said, "I've never seen you so centered before. Your punches were exacting. You responded faster than ever before to what I called out for you to do." But that went back to centering, and that's what Paul specializes in. So we're going to be sending out the slides for all of you. So if you want to reach out to Paul, you'll have his phone number, which is 562-233-7861. That's 562-233-7861. Or you can reach Paul at pauldavidwalker@geniusstone.com. If you're in the California area or even out of state, you can come to the California area. Love to have you. Paul has a casa where he lives, and he has team meetings there or meets with people. So it just calms the thought down so you can think clearly and move forward. Paul, any closing thoughts for today?
Well, don't get depressed. Don't get anxious. Be present and figure out what you need to do in the moment, because the past is just a memory. The future is a speculation. The answers are in the present, what's flowing, what's moving now, and the deeper your understanding of present reality, the better chance you have of hitting direct targets. And the less energy you use, Thich Nhat Hanh, the great philosopher I know, said that if you're depressed, you're thinking too much about the past. If you're anxious, you're thinking too much about the future. Both are not real. Both are memory or speculation. But if you're in the present as a leader, you know what's happening. You can feel it, and you know when to respond, just like an athlete in the zone.
That's a really good point. A thought came to me the other month, where the thought came that during the recessionary time and then after, there's going to be a need for support for current staff members, and to show additional benefits to the staff members so that they feel valued. So we have actually created what's called a business assistance program, which will be launched in the next 69 days or so, which is similar to an EAP program, but much more cost effective. And it's being launched specifically because of the time that we're entering into. And it is a thought that just came to me when I was meditating and praying one day, that there's going to be a need for this, and it's something we had done many, many years ago, and the thought came, it's time to bring it back. Do it now. Paul, thank you again for being on Open Line. Thank you, everybody, for listening and being part of the program. Again, any questions, please feel free to call Paul. He's very free, open with his time, and we look forward to having you next month at our next Open Line program. We'll all be talking soon. Thanks again. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.